Turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. I want to look at one of the events that occurred during the time of the Last Supper. John chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. So if you have found your place and you're able, would you join me in standing in honor of the reading of God's Word? Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray tonight that you would lead us and guide us as we look to the Word of God. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts, Lord. God, just help us to see tonight the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to understand His love for us, His willingness to serve. And Lord, let us be changed by that. Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We just ask that you'll be glorified in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, now, as we come to this passage, we're drawing near to the very end. We know that this is the Last Supper, the last Passover meal that the Lord Jesus observed with His disciples. We know that following this, they go to the garden. And there Jesus will spend time in prayer. He will agonize in prayer. And then the soldiers, the mob, will come from the high priest, and they will arrest him and take him for trial. The disciples will be scattered. And so begins the day of the Lord Jesus' crucifixion. So I think it helps us to put it into context here of where we're at in those final hours. Right, we're in the evening hours now. And it's, you know, only a few more hours until Jesus is arrested. And then He will be basically tried during the night and then into the morning. And so that helps me to understand that this is not a casual moment. This is not something that Jesus did in passing. Jesus was preparing His disciples for the moment when He was leaving them. And He gave them a great example here in this passage. He gave them a powerful act of love. And He said that we are to follow His example. And basically, He served His guys. He just served His disciples, His men. He served them. And we're called to do the same thing. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then be the servant of all. Become the servant. That's how you get to the top in the kingdom of God, as you go to the bottom. It's totally backwards from the world. It doesn't work like the world, but... All right, so let's think about this a little bit. Just get this picture in our minds, and then I think as we walk through it, we will kind of prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Now, Jesus in this moment knows His hour is near, and He loves these men, these 12 men. And that's amazing to me, because we look at these disciples and we see them at times. I mean, we see all the almost comedy of errors and the just stumbling, bumbling, mistakes they made and ways they failed, and they were tested. And, you know, Jesus said to His disciples, "Man, we got a huge crowd of people. How are we going to feed all these people?" And, you know, immediately they're going, "Oh, I don't know, Lord. We only have a little bit here. We couldn't buy enough food for these people. You know, no possible way." And we see over and over again where they dropped the ball. They didn't get it right. And Jesus kept working with them. And that's important, because we're a lot like them. We have our moments when we're stumbling and bumbling and just, you know, missing the mark, missing the point. And yet the Lord loved these guys. And so here's what He did. Now, we know the devil was at work. He'd already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. We know that these disciples were coming together in the upper room. You know, God had prepared. It's interesting. You know, He told His disciples, "Go and look for a man with a water pot, carrying a water pot, probably on his head." You say, "Well, that doesn't seem like that's a great identifier." But what you got to remember is that was woman's work, typically. And so they found the upper room. It was ready. It was furnished. One thing it lacked. It lacked a servant. It lacked someone who, when they came in, would do that most basic necessity of hospitality for them. And, you know, their culture and their ways are quite different from ours. But, you know, obviously, when they were out walking, their shoes were mostly an open shoe, like a sandal or something like that. So, you know, they're out there walking in the dirty, dusty streets. You know, the Romans paved some roads. And I don't know, I don't remember. I know there were some places that we saw in the old city where the fortress was, but I don't remember seeing a paved road, but they didn't have that very often. And so, you know, it was dirty. And their feet got dirty. We kind of don't even think about that so much, unless we, you know, get out in the lot or something. We get out and we, you know, get into the mud and the muck and whatnot. But these people lived with this every day. It was a constant reality. Every time they'd get out on the streets, every time, you know, also you got the added benefit of all those livestock running around. You know, probably the city sanitation department, they weren't cleaning all that up. You know, reminds me of when I was in band, Emma, when I was in school, and we would march in parades. You know, Christmas parade, homecoming, or what, you know, whatever. We'd march in these parades. And invariably, they'd put us behind a bunch of horses. And the horses would do what they do, you know, just what comes natural. And so we'd be marching down through there, and all of a sudden you'd see that line just go veering around, you know. And unless, you know, one unlucky guy didn't get the memo, you know. But somebody would yell, "Look out," you know. And, well, we kind of take those for granted. For the most part, some of us wear closed shoes. Whoa, dude. Even my son Caleb's got tennis shoes on tonight. That's unusual. His fault, okay. Well, I mean, we've got some folks in our family that will just about wear, you know, flip-flops or sandals or something, you know, 24/7, 365. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It means snowing outside, and that's what they're going to do. But most of us wear a closed-toed shoe. We, you know, we don't have to worry about that so much. It's not as big a deal today. But in this day, this was a very big deal. This was a standard act of hospitality when you came into a household. Now, within the family, the wife might wash her husband's feet. The children might wash their parents' feet. What do you think about that, Emily? What do you think about that? You think you might like to go home and practice what the Bible said? Okay. No? Well, this was standard. You know, they didn't think anything of that. Now, if they had servants in their household, this task would fall to the lowest servant. Okay? The person who was the low man on the totem pole, we would say. You know, the least person, they got this job. It was not a great job. Let's be honest. Even though it was customary, something they were used to, they didn't really enjoy getting down and on their knees and scrubbing on these guys' feet who'd been out in the, you know, whatever all day long. And so it wasn't a great job. Well, they got to the upper room. It's all laid out for their meal. Everything's ready. Everything's furnished. Except, who's going to wash their feet? And I picture it. I mean, I'm kind of looking at it. I'm thinking these guys are kind of looking at each other. Like, somebody ought to wash our feet. And, you know, I don't know if they, you know, discussed it or not. I don't know if that came up at all. But Jesus took the form of a servant. Jesus stepped up into a role that probably none of those men wanted. He did something that probably none of us would look at and say, "Boy, that's what I want to do in the kingdom of God. I want to be a foot washer." I think most of us would say that's probably not what we aspire to. But Jesus gave them an example. He gave them an act of love that they carried with them from then on. You know, there were things happening in those men. And they were still not perfect. You know, at the arrest, they fled, they ran. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. You know, they were still, but yet God was working powerfully in their hearts. And He was giving them some things. So, let's just consider here, as we walk through, what we see. Jesus took a towel. And it says He took off His outer garment. And that would be so that He could work. He could do this job, you know. And he girded himself with this towel. He tied this towel around him. And he took a basin. And he poured water into that basin. And then he came to the first disciple. And he knelt down in front of him. And I have to think at this point, every man in the room is going, you know, I can just see James looking at John saying, and John, you know, and until Jesus came to Peter, nothing is recorded about what was said. But Peter was always remarkably ready to fill that empty space with some words, something. He would get it out there. And so when Jesus came to Peter, and it, you know, I mean, in a way it's an honest question and it's helpful for us because we can learn from Peter. We really can. He comes to Peter and Peter says, verse 6, "Dost thou wash my feet?" And the implication here is, "Lord, you're not washing my feet, are you?" And Jesus answers, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And at this point, Peter says, I mean, he just kind of bows up. He says, "You will never wash my feet." You know, think about it. Peter felt like it was below the Lord. It was beneath the Lord's dignity and His place to get on his knees and to scrub the dirty feet of these men. Jesus answered him. Notice, verse 8, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Y'all, if you let anything sink into your mind tonight, if you walk away with anything, walk away with these words, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, Peter, he gets on board. I mean, Peter, you know, says, "Well, in that case, Lord, don't just wash my feet, just give me a bath. You know, just wash my hands, my head, just clean me up." I mean, you got to give it to Peter. You know, when you really lay it down there for him, okay, then, let's go whole hog, you know. He was all or nothing. Notice Jesus' words in verse 10. "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." And he's referring to Judas Iscariot. Well, so here's the spiritual impact of this verse, and this passage. If you have been saved, you are clean. All right, that's basically what Jesus says to Peter. He that is saved, you could substitute that word there in terms of meaning, and it would be correct. He that is saved needeth not save to wash his feet. Here's what we see as Christians. We're born again, we're saved, we know Jesus, but yet we still do things wrong. We still say things, we still do things we should not. And that's where the feet come in. Our feet are the part of us that contact this world. And in the Christian life, though that part of us that has contact with the world, we need cleansing frequently. You know, it's not a one-time thing. You know, when you're saved, you're saved. I believe that. But we still need to be forgiven. We need to be cleansed daily. Sometimes more often. Sometimes hourly. Sometimes more often. Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Christian, if Jesus doesn't forgive your sins that you have committed today, this week, the attitudes, the words, the thoughts, the things in your life that were unkind, uncalled for, should never have been. If he doesn't do that, you have no part with him. You're not his. We need him to cleanse us and to wash us. Not to keep us saved. I mean, he does keep us saved. But that's not what saves us. But that's what keeps our fellowship with him unbroken. Now, you know, when you're saved, you're a child of God. You're born into the family of God, and God's not going to come along and unbirth you. You know, if we tried, you know, if we said, boy, Sheila, it's just gotten impossible. So we're not going to kill her. We're going to unbirth her. We're going to cause her to just never have been born. Good luck, she says. Well, she's right. You can't undo that. You can't undo Sheila. Here she is. In the flesh. I mean, I'm still trying to prove to the government that my wife exists and is a citizen of this country. But here she is. She's in the flesh. You know, that ought to count for something. Well, when we're born into the family of God, that's as real as your physical birth. Nothing will ever change that. That's a life that has begun that will continue on. But as we mess up from day to day, as we sin, as we do things wrong, we need to be cleansed. And He is so good. He is so willing to forgive us everything we do, that He demonstrated it here for us in this object lesson for these disciples. He's so willing that He got down on His knees. The King of glory, the Prince of peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, got down on His knees in that upper room in front of these men and washed, scrubbed their feet. They're nasty old dirty feet. And He did it because He loved them. And He did it because He wanted to. I mean, there's several teachings here. There's several truths here. One is that we need to serve one another like Jesus served us. We need to serve one another. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes we don't really love it. But we do it. Because it's our opportunity to follow in Jesus' steps, to take His example. But then also we find the truth here that as a Christian, we need to be cleansed. We need to keep our accounts short, if you will. We need to stay prayed up. We don't need to let things accumulate. You know, I have a bad habit. I don't know if you're aware of this. In fact, it's so bad that I used I renamed my desk over in my office. And I renamed it file. And so someone would ask me, well, do you have such and such that I gave you? Or such, you know, oh, it's on file in my office. And, you know, chances were pretty good that it actually was. You know, I might have to hunt for it for a while. I have a tendency to let things accumulate and just clutter. I don't know, some of y'all, I know you're, you know, a bunch of neat freaks. And you don't have that issue like I do. But I have to work at that a little bit. Every now and then I have to stop and just clear me a space, you know. But you know, in our spiritual lives, we can't afford to have clutter build up that will hinder our relationship, our fellowship with God. It doesn't change our relationship, but it certainly hinders our fellowship with God. It's just like when your parents told you to do something and you knew better and you didn't do it. And when they found out, they were upset. And things were a little tense around your house for a while. They didn't like it. They might have done some kind of a thing to punish you. You didn't really want to just go and spend a lot of time with them in that moment. But folks, when we're not right with God, You won't want to go to church. You won't want to be in His presence. You won't want to do the things you know you ought to do. You won't want to spend time in prayer. You won't want to get into your Bible. Because it will keep you from... Sin will keep you from all the things that God wants to bless you with. I want to encourage you tonight. Because here we have a great example Jesus has given us. And if you're saved, then we need to follow the example of our Lord. We need to wash one another's feet. Now, obviously in our culture, that's not something that we typically do. Now, we have done foot washing here, you know, just as a as an object lesson, you know, just something to demonstrate. And honestly, it's kind of an uncomfortable thing for a lot of people, not for everybody. Now, some of you men like to go and get pedicures and stuff, and so it's second nature to you, and that's good. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is a humbling experience to wash someone's feet. And it's a humbling experience to have your feet washed. But this act of service can take just about any form. It can be just about anything that's needed. I want to encourage you to serve. Wherever you find ways, whenever you see a need, look for opportunities and be willing to jump in there. And I promise you, there'll be some jobs that nobody else will really want. Someone needs to do. Sometimes you'll walk into the church building and everything's all set, everything's all ready, everything's all good, except we're missing a servant. We're missing someone with a servant's heart who will say, "Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that job. I'll step in there. I'll help with this. I'll clean up this mess. I'll, you know, whatever it is." Well, you know, as we approach the Lord's Supper, I want to encourage you to take the truth that we need to be cleansed. We're His. If you're saved, you're a child of God. You're His. But we need to have Him cleanse our hearts and minds of things that are there. So we want to do that tonight. We want to take a moment before we observe the Lord's Supper together. So let's take just a moment. Let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts and just ask the Lord. Just ask the Lord to give us what we need. So that our heart is ready. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. We absolutely need Him to wash us tonight, to cleanse us. The Bible tells us that He is willing. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Bible says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Ephesians 5 tells us that as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And that is our prayer tonight. That God would wash us, make us clean, make us pure. I don't just mean a little bit here and there. I mean, wash us, cleanse us. take this moment. Now, if there's a spiritual need in your heart, something that's really on you, you need someone to pray with you, I would love to pray with you. So, if that's you, come. I'd love to do that. If there's someone who's never been saved, wants to be, you come. Says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Our God is able to forgive, and He wants to. He is willing.